following message is from Christian Life Austin. For more information about Christian Life, visit clcaustin.com. Thank you for listening.
Come on, what's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday! Man, can you believe it's already Wednesday? I feel like this week has flown by. Has it flown by for anybody, or has it dragged by for some of you? Show of hands, flown by. Dragged by. All right. I'm glad you're honest in church. Like, if you need to be honest everywhere, but you really need to be honest in the house of the Lord. So I'm glad you can be honest and admit that sometimes, some days are just feel like they're longer than others. But here's what my prayer is, that when you walked in the room tonight, that no matter how you've been feeling, no matter what's been going on, that your day got a little bit better. Amen. That you felt the joy of the Lord when you came in the house today, that though your bodies may be weak, your spirit got stronger when you came in here and you started magnifying the Lord. And that's what happens when God's people get together. We honor him, and I'm excited about what the Lord has placed on my heart to share with everybody this evening. We're going to dive right into the word. By the way, you heard the announcement about three services, and then you also heard the announcement about water baptism on Sunday. If you have never been water baptized and you're on the fence and you're wondering if you should be water baptized, I'm going to go ahead and tell you yes. Sunday is going to be a bananas day. I don't even know. I don't have another word. My 40-year-old self, bananas, is as good as I could come up with. We have upwards of 170 people registered to be water baptized on Sunday. Come on, y'all. God is up to something around here. He's doing something in the hearts and the lives of people in Austin, Texas. And I'm just grateful that we get to be a part of it. Let's dive right into the Word of God. We're going to start with a show of hands survey. I need class participation on this Wednesday night. Real-time survey. Don't hold out on me either. Within the last month, how many of you in the room, if you're watching online, you can raise your hand too. We just can't see you. How many of you in the room have dealt with what you would consider an extremely stressful situation? Okay, now leave your hands up. Don't put them down. I saw you put it down. Nope, there you go. Now I want you to look around. That's crazy. You can put your hands down now. Your arms are already tired. It's 30 seconds. My shoulder, rotator cuff just gave out. Almost every hand in the room went up. Within the last month, you have dealt with what you would consider a high-stress, extremely stressful situation. And tonight, I'm going to preach the shortest sermon you have ever heard, and it will be the solution to your stress. Y'all fired up. Come on. Man. Are you ready? Here is the solution to all of your stressful situations. I can't even say it without laughing. It is the opposite of stressed. In fact, it is stressed spelled backwards. Desserts. I told you, just go eat some ice cream. And things just, Bluebell, as Pastor Johnson would tell us, makes everything a little bit better. So go eat something tonight. No, I'm just kidding. Don't self-medicate like that. That's not good either. That's not what we're going to do. But we are under stress. We're under a lot of pressure in this day and age. Why is there so much stress? Why do we deal with so much pressure, so much anxiety? And we know the three main factors would be money. You got more bill than you got money. A T-Mobile bill. Work causes you stress. You're stressed because you're working too much. You're stressed because you're not working enough and you don't have enough money. You're stressed because you don't like your boss. You're stressed because you don't get along with your coworkers. Work causes us a lot of stress. Family sometimes causes us a lot of stress. Your kids are acting crazy. Somebody said, preach, Pastor Brad. And sometimes parents, y'all acting crazy. Come on. We don't always get it right either, moms and dads. Money, work, and family cause us a whole lot of stress. And then you throw in inflation right now. Everything costs more, right? And now it adds another level of stress. We've got societal craziness. We've got wars and rumors of wars. We've got moral decline in society. And it just seems like the bigger the mess, the more stress that we have. So what is stress? Let's talk about it for just a second. The way that I picture it is, have you ever, like back in the day when I was a kid, I remember at my aunt and uncle's house, they used to have this machine that was mounted to a wall, and you would take an empty like soda can and it would sit right there on the shelf and you would bring it down and it would crunch the can just so that you could recycle it effectively and it wouldn't take up much space in your trash can. Right? It's like taking a Coke can and stepping on it. It's when something can't handle the pressure that is applied to it and it's causing it to pull apart at the seams. And this is a picture of some of our lives, that you've got so much pressure being applied to you that you're coming unglued. Like certain aspects of our life aren't functioning anymore because of the pressure that is being applied. Things are starting to break down in our life. It's a picture of where we are. And I've got good news and I've got bad news. And I'm gonna tell you the bad news first. The bad news is chances are very good that the pressure is not going anywhere. That's the bad news, I'm sorry. But I do have some encouraging news for you tonight. If you're expecting the pressure to change, this is not the message for you tonight, because I have a feeling that the pressure is going to always be there. You're going to have stressful situations that arise from time to time. And what's amazing is that I found oftentimes God doesn't remove the pressure. Have you noticed that? He doesn't remove the pressure, but he does give us a better way to deal with it. He gives us a better way to navigate the stressful situations that we deal with in our life. And so I'm gonna title the sermon for tonight, Peace Under Pressure. He shows us how to have peace when you're stressed to the max, when you're frustrated, when you really don't know what to do and you feel like your life is shutting down because of everything that is on your shoulders. Peace under pressure. And I want to show you some principles tonight out of the Word of God that will allow you and help you to do just that, to have peace under pressure. And I love how the Lord works, because tonight really just dovetails right off of Pastor Sam's message from last Wednesday night, when he talked about rest. Come on, did you enjoy that last week? Talked about rest. And so my first point is going to overlap, and then we'll continue with the message. But the first thing, that if you're gonna find peace under pressure, you're gonna find it when you allow your mind and your body to recover. Have you ever noticed that things get worse the more tired you are? You're more irritable. Things that wouldn't normally frustrate you. Your kids ask for you to fill up their cup of water and you're like, what? You don't have legs? Dad, I'm sorry, you were up right by the refrigerator. Things set us off when we're exhausted and when we're tired. If you want to have peace under pressure, you have to allow your mind and your body to recover. Last week, we referenced Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and what? I will give you rest. Here's how I read that scripture. See, when I read scripture, I feel like the Lord's talking directly to me. And here's how I feel the Lord is talking. This is how I feel like he's talking to me. He's probably much nicer than this. Hey, Brad, when you're done handling whatever it is that you're handling your way, when you're ready to come to me, when you're ready to put it in my hands, you're gonna find rest. When you stop dealing with it in your own way and you turn it over to me, who actually has the answer to what you're dealing with, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you, it's an invitation to have peace under pressure. Now watch how he continues. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Did you see? He doesn't remove the pressure. He actually puts something else on you. Take it away, take it away, take it away, Lord. He said, I'm not taking it away. I'm gonna put something else on you. I still want you to go through life. I know you're a citizen of heaven, but you live on earth for now until I come back to get my bride. I want you to learn how to deal with these situations. So you can't just quit work. You can't just walk out on your family when everything is going crazy, but I'm gonna show you a different way to live when you feel the pressures and the stressors of life right on your shoulders. For I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, here's our problem. Check this picture out. This is, you've seen this picture before. This is a picture of a yoke. This is an old school yoke of oxen. I don't know, that looks like cows to me, so I'm sorry. That's my fault. But it's a piece of wood with a metal ring so the cows or the oxen can stick their head through there. And the point of this is that when the farmers are plowing a field, that they stay connected and they can keep them in a straight line plowing together so that they don't get out of line. And here's you and I's problem, are you ready? Is that oftentimes you and I are yoked to the wrong thing. We're yoked to things that frustrate us. We're wondering why we have no peace. It's because you're yoked to situations in life that drain your peace. You have to yoke yourself to the right things in life if you're going to find peace under pressure. Jesus is saying, listen, it's not gonna be, all the pressures and stressors are not going away, but there's a different way to go through it. And you've gotta observe the principle of the Sabbath, and I don't have time to deal with all of that, but you've gotta yoke yourself with the right things. Things that are life-giving and not life-draining. What are those things? What are the things that are draining the life out of you right now that you have yoked yourself to, whether intentionally or unintentionally? You'll never have peace in those stressful situations until you yoke yourself to the right things and unyoke yourself from the wrong things. Here's the second thing. If you want to find peace under pressure, it's when you know who you are. And I'll add this, and you're comfortable with it. Now, this is hard for us to accept sometimes. Because every time that you don't know who you are in these situations of pressure, You start to begin to play out the narratives that run in your mind, either the narratives that other people have put there, the narratives that the enemy has put there that has defined for you who you are and what he calls you. Some of the narratives that you believe are the ones that you've told yourself. Because of the seasons in life when you didn't feel like you measured up, and you begin to tell yourself that I'm not enough, that I'm not good enough, that I don't have what it takes, that I failed one too many times, and you've started to replay that narrative time and time and time again. And for a lot of you, you feel pressure. It's called peer pressure. Oh, Pastor Brad, that's for teenagers. Oh, really? Yeah. You feel pressure from other people because you've allowed them to define who you are by the things that they've said about you. The way that they treated you, even if it was 15 or 20 years ago, and I'm not negating those feelings, they're real and they should have never been said. But they don't get the authority to define who you are. Last time I checked, they didn't create you. If they didn't create you, they don't have the authority to tell you who you are. Peer pressure. You're allowing everyone, including the devil, to define who you are. So, some of us have so many narratives running through our minds and voices in our head. And as Eleanor Roosevelt once said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. You have to sign off on it. Nobody can make you feel less than unless you say, you know what, they're right. What they said is true. You have the ability to stand up to whatever it is that they said and say, listen, that is not who I am. That decision doesn't define the rest of my life. I'm more than my past. I'm more than the mistakes that I've made. If you want to find peace under pressure, you got to know who you are and be comfortable with who God created you to be. You got to be okay walking into work knowing that you're a Jesus follower. You don't have to be weird about it. You don't have to duck your head about it. You don't have to be ashamed about it or intimidated about it. You are a follower of Jesus. Walk in and be comfortable in who God created you to be. What's even more bizarre is sometimes we replay things in our minds about what people didn't even say. We just imply that that's what they said and that's what they think about us. We've built up a bigger narrative in my mind than what they're actually thinking about. Has anybody ever done that, or is it just me? Like, you've created this whole story of why they hate you. Like, there's no reason that they would like me. There's no reason I could be in their group. I mean, this is what they have to think about me. And if you actually had a conversation with them, like, where'd you get, you just totally made all of that up. Right? This is what we do sometimes. But the more we replay it over and over and over again, the more that you amplify the sound of it and you magnify the sight of it, you've heightened the distress of the situation. You've made it worse than what it was, and now a pressure that wasn't even there is beginning to be applied to your life because of a narrative that you've made up in your mind. Sometimes we do it to ourselves and we're blaming the devil. That old devil. No, it ain't the devil. It's you and it's me sometimes. We got to get out of our own heads. Galatians chapter 6 says it this way: each one of us should test their own actions. Then they can take pride. This is a godly pride in themselves alone without, without comparing themselves to someone else. for each should carry their own load. Know who you are and be comfortable with who God created you to be. You know why he created you the way that you are? Because he needed somebody on this earth just like you. He didn't make a mistake when he gave you the ability to tell corny jokes. He wanted you to brighten somebody's day up. And I know you think it's good. No, no. He created you with that ability and with that gifting. You have that personality because he wanted somebody in this day and age to have exactly what you have so that you could impact somebody for the goodness of God. The clearer you are about who God says that you are. I'm a child of the King. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the head and not the tail. I am accepted and I am worthy. Come on, why don't we start declaring these things over our lives? Why do we listen to all the other narratives? You are a child of the King. You know, it shouldn't make you be all haughty and get all prideful in a bad way, but it should allow you to throw those shoulders back and have a little bit of confidence. Do you think he created junk when he created you? Because if you think that, it's a slap in the face of your heavenly Father. He looked at you and he said, wow, I did a good job. You know that? When he created you, he says, my God. Goodness, look at what I did. That's what he thinks about you. And every time we negative self-talk and we put ourselves down, it's a slap in the face to our heavenly Father. He wants you just the way you are. He created you that way on purpose. Oh, I gotta hurry. The third thing is this: if you want to find peace under pressure, you'll find it when you know what you're supposed to be doing. And by the way, it's really hard to know what you're supposed to be doing when you don't know who you are. So you have to know who you are, and once you understand who you are and whose you are, then it's easier to walk into what it is that you're supposed to be doing. The happiest and the most joyous people that I know on this planet are not people that have less problems than you. They're not. Go ask the happiest people that you know that always exude the joy of the Lord. Go ask them, and I promise you, they're going to tell, oh, I got troubles, I got issues, I got problem. Things aren't always really, really good, but you know what they'll tell you? Is that they're doing something in life, and the thing that they're doing really, really, really matters to them. It's important to them. It's giving life to them, and generally, it's giving life to somebody else. And here's what they've discovered, are you ready? Is that their purpose has become a distraction for all of their problems. Instead of their problems, see, we reverse it. We have so many problems that we can't even begin to find our purpose. But I think the Christian community needs to reverse that. We need to know what our purpose is, who we are, find something that energizes us that we do on a daily basis that is making a difference in somebody else's life. And I'm telling you, when you find that thing, you talk about rest. You talk about peace under pressure. You talk about peace in a situation where you shouldn't have any peace. When you know what it is that you're supposed to be doing and it's meaningful to you. I'm not just talking about work. There's other things outside of work that you know that you can step into that God's been calling you to do that just fires you up. Every time you think about it, you're just, woo, get a little pep in your step. It brings you joy. It brings you excitement. It energizes you. Find that thing. Well, Pastor Brad, I just don't know. Try something. Try serving in the community. Try serving in the church. Try finding whatever that is. A lot of times, are you ready? The place that you find problems, the place that you see and you said, man, somebody needs to fix that. It might be your job. The things that you look at in the world and you say, oh man, if somebody could just solve that, I mean, that would be amazing. What if you were the one that solved that problem? That's all right, three of you believe it. It's okay, it's no big deal. I'm telling you. Watch this. Paul said that I'm hard pressed on every side, but it's not keeping me down. He says, I have light and momentary troubles. As much as I love the Apostle Paul, that's a lie. Have you read about his life? Shipwrecked, snake bitten, stoned with rocks. Left out at sea. He planted so many churches. And guess what? Churches have people in them, and people have problems. So he had to deal with all the issues of all the churches that he was planting. He was thrown in jail. They were light and momentary troubles? No, they weren't, but that's how he viewed them. It's how he chose to see them. Listen, I know that what you're going through may seem like a lot, but what is your perspective on what you're walking through right now? And how, my question is though, how in the world was he able to call? Because I has fixed my eyes on the unseen. I've got my eyes fixed on something that matters. I know what I need to be doing, and it doesn't matter what I go through. It's just on the inside of me that I'm gonna walk through this. Come on, bring it on, enemy, whatever you got against me. Whatever God has put in my heart fires me up so much that I'm excited about doing it. That's why 2 Peter chapter 1, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling. You know why? The calling is that thing, that longing on the inside of you. Your calling has a competitor. And the competitor is all the stuff that we've put on our schedules that are life-draining and not life-giving. Don't let the competitor override the calling that God has on your life. The trivial stuff in life that we fill our time with. Stop amplifying the outside voices. Start allowing the Word of God to infiltrate your soul. Get rid of some of the non-essential things that you're doing. Really what it is, it's a focus. We have a focus problem in society today. We have a hard time focusing on one thing for a very long period of time. And I'm telling you, if you would start to focus your life, just bring it in on that camera, just begin to turn it till it gets into focus. And what it's gonna require is that you throw some things out that aren't really that important so that you can bring everything into perfect focus. The fourth one is this: if you want peace under pressure, this is just a warning. Some of you aren't gonna like this one. I'm just warning you, so be warned. I like these. If you want peace under pressure, you're gonna find it when you're surrounded and supported by other people. Amen. Have you ever watched like the Discovery Channel or Animal Planet? And there's like these gazelles, this herd of gazelles. That is not a good example of a gazelle. I'm sorry to all the gazelles. and they're all in this herd going through the safari desert, and then there's one little gazelle. Just starts to wander out, and what do you think? No! What are you doing? Get back to the herd. And 30 seconds later, he's a lion's lunch, right? Such were some of us. We think we can go through life on our own. Can I tell you, you were not designed to go through life on your own. There's strength in numbers. God created us. The Word of God talks about the church being a flock. We're a family, and he uses that for a reason. You need other people in your life. Shameless plug, life groups open up on Sunday. Be a part of a life group. Be a part of a freedom group. Okay, I've got to move quickly. I have 3 minutes and 10 seconds. Skip a bunch of my notes. Hang on. Here's the fifth and final one. I'll close with this. If you want peace under pressure, you have to put God first. I know this is so obvious. I know. Have you ever heard this song? It's the old song. Israel Houghton wrote it years ago. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Right? You know? If you're familiar with that, if you're not, you should listen to it. Don't listen to me sing it. Do not go back and watch that. That's embarrassing. He is a friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, in fact. But listen, before he is a friend, he has to be Lord first. We have to learn to put God first. He has to be Lord before he can be friend. And for him to be Lord means that he's in charge. That I'm not in charge anymore. That you're not in charge anymore. And some of us are asking God for help, but you haven't given him your life yet. You're holding on to the pieces that are comfortable for you to hold on to. And he's saying, you haven't totally surrendered your life to me. You haven't made me Lord, which means I can't be your Prince of Peace. You want peace under pressure. You got to make me Lord of your life. You got to stop driving the ship. And you got to let me lead you and guide you and direct you. If you haven't made him Lord, if he's just friend, if he's just your buddy, if he's just your homeboy, and he's not your Lord, you're never gonna find the peace that you're looking for in life. Would you stand with me all across the room? Watch. You don't get peace without Lord. Let me show you how closely these are connected, and then I'll let you go. Psalm 4 and 8 says it this way, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 29:11 says it this way, the Lord gives strength to his people. Who does? The Lord. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The Lord of your life does that. You don't get peace without the Lord. That's why the world is chaotic and stressful and crazy, because without the Lord, there is no peace. But the beauty of following Jesus is that you can have a peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that the world looks at you and says, how in the world do you have what you have? How are you acting the way that you are? because he's Lord and I'm not. Because of that, I can have peace under pressure. I can have peace when things are good. I can have peace when I'm stressed to the max. Because he's the Lord of my life. And I know that when he's with me, I don't know the details, but I know I'm gonna be okay. And so I can lay my head down at night and I can sleep because he's the Lord and I'm not. I don't have to figure it all out. I gotta do my best, but then I know the Lord, he's gonna make up the difference in my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wanna pray for peace to sweep over your life tonight. So Lord, right now, God, I'm not gonna ask anybody to raise their hand right now because we already did that at the beginning of our time together tonight. Every single one of us in this room are stressed out. Very recently in life, Lord. And I thank you for your word that speaks to every situation. Your word is so clear. I'm grateful for that tonight. Lord, I thank you for the peace that you give to your children. And I pray that a holy peace would sweep over this house right now. God, you see the people in this room that are experiencing some of the most stressful situations right now. God, I pray that they would walk out of this room tonight and when their head hits the pillow, they would have the most peaceful night's sleep that they've had in weeks. Peace. Wonderful peace. God, I thank you for your peace. Let it rest on your children tonight. Let it rest in this house tonight. We need you. And Lord, we thank you for giving us peace in the craziest of storms. Lord, we thank you that when we shouldn't be able to find peace, that you provide it for us. That though you may not take it away from us, you show us how to navigate it properly. And we're forever grateful tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said amen. Come on, can you put your hands together for the Lord tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, before you leave, listen. I know I told you we weren't gonna eat tonight, but I kinda lied to you. If you're stressed out, we got ice cream sandwiches for everybody outside in the lobby. So go ahead, help yourself. Get a little unstressed tonight. God bless you. Seriously, we really do. Grab one on your way out tonight. We'll see you right back in the house on Sunday morning. God bless you.
Wasn't that amazing? On behalf of our senior pastor, our leadership team, and staff, we want to thank you for tuning in to Christian Life Austin Online. We pray this service remains in your heart and helps lead you to your next steps on your faith journey. And we want to take a moment to allow you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus. If you've never made that choice before, you know, whether you're watching in your living room, your kitchen, or on vacation, we know that Jesus will meet you right where you are. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you want salvation today, it's as simple but as powerful as confessing Jesus as the Lord of your life and having faith that God raised him from the dead. So let's take a moment right now to pray together. Would you join me? Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day and for this moment, God. Wherever we are in our faith journey, God, we thank you for the first steps that people are taking right now. Father, we confess that we are sinners saved by grace. God, we confess and we repent, Lord, for the sin, Lord Jesus, that we've committed against you. We acknowledge it, Lord Jesus. And I pray you would forgive us. I pray you would cleanse us, that you would wash us, Lord. God, we confess that you are going to be the Lord of our life today. God, we acknowledge that you died for us so that we could live, Lord, and that you were raised from the dead. And we thank you for that, Jesus. But Lord, from this day forward, we are putting you first and we are making you the Lord of our life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for a church that's going to walk alongside us from this day forward. And everybody said, amen. Congratulations to all of you who made the decision to give your life to Jesus. And know this, all of heaven is celebrating with you, and we're celebrating with you too. But hey, we know this is only step one. We want you to know that you're not alone on this walk, and we're not leaving you to figure it out by yourself. We want to partner with you as you walk through our core values, which is know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives of others. We would love to help you take your next step, whether it's water baptism or joining a life group or getting plugged in serving through Growth Track. We have everything you need to make this process easy, accessible, and applicable to you and your life, no matter what stage of life you're in. You are somebody at Christian Life Austin, and you are somebody in the kingdom of heaven. And we want to know, what is your next step? We want to hear from you. If you gave your life to Jesus today, please click the link in the description so that we can get connected with you. Again, thank you so much for tuning in, and we can't wait to see you in person at Christian Life Austin.